The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we're coming to you on Tuesday. It's the 24th of March, and of course, we're still square in the middle of the coronavirus and everything happening with that, which means, of course, there is no golf being played for the most part, no sports in general, and very little activity of any kind. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We have our good friend Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf joining us in just a little bit, who not only will tell us about what guys like him that are giving lessons that normally would give lessons, what they're up to or what their solution for some of this isolationism, if you want to call it that, can happen, and how they can still work with some different golfers while they're trying to do that. And at the same time, we'll find out what Steve thinks about the PGA Tour. You know, everything's going to reshuffle, and what's going to come out of this coronavirus and the suspension and cancellation of different tournaments like the Masters and like the PGA to the PGA Championship, what that might mean for the tour, if it might look different when we finally get back to playing some golf. So we'll talk to Steve about that. Hey, Frank, I was only going to say Hank. Frank Bassett joins us in the Nashville studios. Frank, how's everything going in Nashville? About the same as Dallas and everywhere else in the country,
hey,
I guess.
Hey, pal, how are you doing?
I'm good.
It's crazy, as you know. It's nuts. Nashville's nuts. I mean, I don't know about other cities because I've been kind of sequestered here, which is crazy. I'm never in Nashville, as you well know. I'm usually on the road.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's nuts. I went this morning just to get a few supplies, and they opened early at Publix, and the line was wrapped around the building. I just said, forget it. You know, I'm just going back home, drink some coffee. People need to calm down, take a deep breath, stop the damn hoarding. Stop that crap right away. Because there are people out there, elderly, that need things that can't get it. So, you know, I would say what I think of those people, but we'd probably get in trouble. Just stop it, you know. And you want to buy a gun. Let me tell you this. In Nashville, Tennessee, if you'd like to buy a gun, forget about it.
Really?
Forget about it. There's no ammo in this Here's what scares me. Everybody's weaponizing, okay? Everybody's buying guns because they can pass that background check. But they've got 0 hours of experience with a weapon. Jesus, God Almighty, what are we going to do?
I don't know. I mean, it's but why are they doing that, you think? I mean, what's they fear that because of this pandemic, that people are going to
I don't know.
Rob them, break into their house or something?
I guess so. I mean, if you honest to goodness, fear is a horrible thing. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. If you watch TV, everybody's at home now, okay? Or not everybody, but a lot of people. You sit there in front of MSNBC or Fox News or CNN, whatever flavor you want, and all three of them are spewing out all this information that the world's coming to an end, basically. Bull.
Yeah.
Bull.
Yeah.
We'll get through this. This is nuts, people. We will get through this. If you're smart, wash your damn hands. Jesus.
It's just a friend.
God.
Steve, do you have anything enlightening to say? Because Frank's making me want to go cry in a corner over here.
Yeah. Frank makes a good point, Tim. You've got to take it. Let's take it seriously. Let's do what we need to do. Let's get through this. The world's not ending. It's changing a lot. I mean, my world changed this morning. So I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But, you know, it's serious. And you know what? It pisses me off when people don't obey the directives from the county, from the state, from the government. You know, those kids that we see down on spring break.
And
I tell you what, Trump gave him a pass kind of. He just said, hey, you know what? You can spread out quite a bit down there at the beach. Well, they weren't. But they weren't.
But there's some
local golf courses here that are not obeying the directive that our county commissioners has declared, which, you know, one of the things, I mean, we shut down operations because, you know what, I represent Hank Haney, and I don't want the local news coming down here and saying, hey, you know, Hank Haney is defying the directives.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it just, And plus, I mean, there's a purpose to it. It's not just to punish people. It's to protect people. So,
we're going to see.
That's probably one of the most, wise things you've ever said. And it's just by accident, probably.
Probably. But I will tell you, and I agree 100%. I know that Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, where I'm a member here, is shut down now. They're delivering food.
Name drop.
Well, it's our sponsor, Club Corp. So, yeah.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
yes.
There.
Yes.
Justified
name drop.
Yes. I apologize.
Yes. Okay. Right. We love Club Corp. They have shut down golf operations. They've shut down the clubhouse. They're still delivering food. And Tim, I don't know what your Club Corp property is doing in Dallas there, but you can drive up and pick up food. And so I'm doing that just to help support the club.
Yeah.
The course is open. If you want to go play, you're welcome to walk it and all that.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, the pro shop, none of that. The employees are... So if you just want to take your pull cart or a bag and throw it over your shoulder and go walk nine holes, you can go do that.
But there's not somebody there taking green fees and putting groups together and stuff like that.
No. Okay. It's all shut down. All the Nashville public courses, by the way, guys, have also been shut down. Yeah. But they're open for play. And interestingly enough, what we did is we took the cups, I think, at Bluegrass, and they've pulled the cups up like an inch or 2 inches.
I saw that.
We've done that too.
I saw that on social media. Yeah.
But my thing was, if it's in within 10 feet, it's a gimme. It's good.
I make all those anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Steve's referring to is Dallas County is doing one thing, right, which is pretty much shutting everybody down. They do say that you can get out for the emergencies or things you need, but at the same time, they get kind of lax, Steve. If you notice, they have said also, if you need to go get some supplies to work at home, they'll let you do that. Certainly, they're not stopping people from driving in cars. And you can exercise. They also said you can get out if you want to run or jog. I rode my bike yesterday. Keep your distance and all that stuff, but they're letting you do that. So while it sounds like they're keeping everybody shut in, they're really not. You can kind of get around, and there are a lot less cars on the road, but you can get around. Now, that's Dallas County, though. But Frank, where Steve is. Steve, are you in Denton County or are you in Dallas County?
I'm in Denton County, yes.
Has Denton County shut down like Dallas also?
Today those rules have set into effect. Now, I wanted to read you guys. This is just a little bullet point here, but this is how ridiculous this is. When people look to skirt around the rules, and they look at, hey, well, how can we just disregard what everyone else is doing, all these restaurants, all these businesses.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that.
And you know what? Yeah, hey, you know what? We're going to justify our existence. So this one golf course says here, it says, we have multiple safe options when you join us at the golf course. We encourage guests to do the following. Number one, I sound like Joe Biden, don't I? Number one, know your group and don't invite people to play in your group that you're not comfortable riding with. Well, how in the hell are you supposed to know who has the virus?
You can't.
No, you don't know. You don't know. That's a stupid rule. Number one is absolutely stupid.
Well, 6 feet. The recommended distance is 6 feet. How do you do that?
There's no golf cart where you can go 6 feet.
Strap Bill on the top. Let's go, Bill.
Yeah. It's 6 feet wide. So unless you're all walking on the outside of it, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
Right. Here's another one. Number two.
What is it?
Please communicate with your group on the day of play prior to arrival to ensure that everyone in your group is feeling well.
Oh,
that's absolute. Those people are crazy.
Yeah.
Those people are nuts. How do you know you have it? You don't.
I know. It's just a way, everyone else is standing in line over here, but you know what? I'm above the law. I'm not going to stand in line. I'm special. My business is much more important than all of your businesses. You know what? Screw you guys, because I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. That's what this golf course is saying. And these guys, I mean, I called the county of Denton yesterday. I said, now what's the penalty if someone violates this? Well, there are no penalties. It's like the slow play.
It's the honor code.
USGA. Yeah. Slow play. No.
Here we go.
There's no penalty.
What's the penalty? No. You get sick and you die. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. These people are idiots. I can't say it enough. They're absolute idiots for not protecting themselves, and they're selfish and rude Yeah. Because these kids especially, and I don't mean the kids. I mean anybody who disobeys the rules, whether it's an adult or a young person or whatever, we have an elderly population that is very susceptible to this respiratory
disease. Well, 80%, 80% of the deaths with coronavirus so far have been senior citizens.
8 and 10. 80%. 8 and 10, baby.
So it's very, very isolated, if you will, into that category, which some people interpret as, okay, then you've got to be very careful about that. What it also, some other people are saying, well, then everybody else isn't in the same category because 8 out of 10 pretty much tells you here's where the real danger zone is. Why are the other people being shut down? Why am I 25 years old, 35 years old, and I can't go to work? I'm not in that really, really bad danger zone.
Because they're selfish.
I'm not saying what's right or wrong, but that's where some people are kind of going, you know what, I'm not going to get it, or I don't think I'm 35, I'm 32 and healthy. And they kind of look at that stat as a open door.
Tim, let me put a little number. Let me put a little number game on it, okay?
Just I got some numbers for you too, Steve.
I know you
I got numbers for you.
Okay. So the traditional flu is like a 1-to-1. If you get the flu, you give it to one person. That's basically what the contagious nature of the flu.
I know where you're going with this.
Flu is.
Yep. Correct.
Well, don't spoil it.
Coronavirus.
I won't.
Coronavirus is 1-to-3. So let me put
not much difference.
No,
what?
Just three times.
That's
three
huge.
Times.
No, no. I'm setting you up, Steve. I'm setting you up. I'm with you on this one. It's, it doesn't seem like much difference, does it?
People don't think that that's a big. They don't think that that's a big deal.
Right.
But
it goes
if
from
one
person, to
three. If one person is contagious, which one person is contagious? Within 2 weeks, 5 million people will be not necessarily contagious, but will be in contact with the virus. 5 million.
1, 3, 9, 18.
Person.
No, it's more than
do
that.
The math.
Yeah, do the math.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's
well,
it's
here's what I thought you were going to say, Stephen. Here's the math I've seen from obviously the doctors, the people that know what they're talking about, is it's actually 1.3. If you get the flu, the regular flu, you would spread it to 1.3 people. Once
well,
you get
why
10
do you do that?
Times.
Why do you do that to me? Why do you do that to me, Tim?
Because it's a better stat. It's more informative.
Mr. One
once
up.
You get, because you're so much smarter than I am. Because you are
once
so
you get past
smarter
it,
than I am.
He hates weather people.
Where did you go to college, Tim? Where'd you go to college?
EIU. I went to Harvard of the Midwest. Thank you very much.
Eastern Illinois University.
Southern Illinois University.
Oh, Southern Illinois.
I'm sorry. Go continue.
Stop
sorry,
it. You always say Eastern.
Because Eastern. Sweeney went there.
I know. Okay, it's the same thing. Okay, so here it is. So 1.3 you would give it to. Okay, 1.3 people. Right. The difference is, and you're right, it's three people if you get corona. It does not seem like a huge difference from 1.3, the regular flu, that you would give it, pass it on to three people with corona. But then you start doing the multiples, and once you get 10 times down, the regular flu, you would have spread to 14 people only. 14. Where the corona, once you get 10 times past that, goes to 59,000.
Yeah.
So from 14 to 59,000.
Wow.
In the that's where people don't get the math. They're kind of going, hey, it's corona. Okay, it's a version of the flu. It's not much worse than the flu. That tells you how quickly 59,000 people can be affected as opposed to 14.
So let me ask you guys this, and I'm serious. This is not a tongue-in-cheek question. This is a respiratory virus, a predatory respiratory virus. Mm-hmm. That has hooks that attach to the lining of your lungs, start suffocating you, and suffocate your organs is how it shuts you down. I mean, it closes off the oxygen to the damn organs. Okay, there you go. That's
okay.
Okay.
Frank, you sound a little short of breath, Frank.
No, I'm not going to even kid like that. Stop it, boys. So it's a respiratory illness.
Okay.
So why in the hell is there a Kleenex on the shelf but no toilet tissue? It's not intestinal. It's respiratory.
It's scaring the hell out of us.
You can buy all the Kleenex you want, but you can't buy potty wipe, okay? It's not a poopy disease. It's a breathing disaster. Come on,
they're
people.
Breaking down. I went shopping this morning, got some gas. By the way, gas here in the great state of Texas is $1.67 a gallon.
Whoa.
I heard up in Sherman, Texas, gas is $1.55 a gallon.
Franklin, Kentucky,
Sherman,
99
Texas.
Cents.
What?
Yeah.
There was a station up in
There's
Kentucky.
A place in Kentucky.
99 cents.
That might have been for a day.
I think Kenny Perry owns that station. It's right next to
the
golf course.
They ran out pretty quick. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, it's a buck 80 here. It's a buck 80.
To finish my rant, can I go with number three here?
Yes, please.
Number three. Sure. Now, this I'm talking about a golf course that is defying the declaration, the mandate of closing the business to customers. I know it's outside. They did close their clubhouse, but they're renting carts to people. And the last number three on their list is if you or one of your golfing partners wakes up and are not feeling well, please do not come to the golf course.
I wake up every morning and don't feel well, but that has nothing to do with the disease.
Bring your dollars.
Yeah.
Bring your money because we need it. But we really don't care if you get sick. Just because you can't prove that you got sick here. I mean, just that absolutely blows me away, guys. That's the arrogance, that is so irresponsible.
Yeah. It is irresponsible. It's criminal almost.
We're joined by Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf, and we're talking about the world of that we live in now and what's going on with coronavirus and how it may or may not affect your life and certainly your golf world. You were talking, Steve, before we came on the air about giving lessons, and while I guess you're closed down, it's possible you could give a lesson here or there. Again, there's not any police out there making sure nobody does some of these things. It's all basically an honor system. But you could also go online and give somebody some lessons and help them out a little bit. You can't make money doing that. I get it. So how economically is this drastically affecting your facility right there as it would any other golf range or golf facility?
It will eventually. I mean, this is the first day of it, and it's the last of the month. You know, we have this junior program. We have a tremendous junior program. Becca Bailey is our director of junior golf, and she has put together a phenomenal junior program. What we did for juniors, back when all of us were growing up, we'd go take a lesson, and maybe 6 to 8 to 10 weeks later, when the wheels fell off, we'd go take another lesson, you know? But what we found is that if we can touch these kids, if we can see them more often, not necessarily have huge lessons, but really productive practice sessions with them. We have kids that come 1 to 5 times a week, and they pay a monthly fee. It's very economical for their folks, but we get to see them on an extended period of time, you know, throughout the whole year. They get good right away. Now, we do have that program has been shut down right now just during the declaration. But, you know, starting this next month, we run on auto bill, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees. And that will be I'm praying that this is done before the end of the month. But I don't think that it will be. Well, we're just trying to really conserve. Gives us a chance to, because the facility's closed right now, I mean, the grass is growing. It still has to be mowed. The greens are looking good. Everything, the Bermuda grass here in Dallas is starting to wake up. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us just to keep the facility up and going. So when we do open, we can service the customers and have a quality product. Tim, to answer your question, We've been doing video analysis and coached videos for the last probably 15 years. Back 15 years ago, it was very difficult. A customer would have to make, you know, 10 to 15 clicks just to take a video, save a video, import a video, download a video, upload a video, and all that. And it was very difficult. Now it takes 2 clicks on your mobile device. And this is what your listeners can do. Anyone can get out in their front yard. Take a practice swing. All you got to do is take your mobile device, put the mobile device, and turn it on video. And so we can see where you're aiming. We can see your swing shape. We can see your setup. Tell us what your big miss is. Videotape that. Send it to golfschools@hankhaney.com. There are a lot of guys that are doing it now. We do it for absolutely free. And we have experienced teachers. Heck, I do the majority of them. So, we have teachers all over the place here in Dallas that are looking to practice their skill at analyzing and developing game plans and all that. I remember Tim one time set one in of Jordan Spieth. And I said,
you told me he had no future.
I said, this kid looks like he could have a nice little short run with his technique, but he's going to have some tremendous problems.
Oh, stop it. In about year four, it's all going to come crashing down. You did predict that,
yeah,
Steve.
Well, he's in the World Hall of Fame, World Golf Hall of Fame already, so there.
Very good. Good call.
He's done that.
That's true. But, I mean, one of the things that with Jordan's video that you sent, it's in the winter. So, I mean, I just try to take the information that I have. The angle of the video was terrible, but I said, hey, this kid's playing and it's freezing outside. I said, man, this is a serious golfer. If you remember, Tim, he hit a shot and he ran up to the crest of the hill so he could see where it went. I said, man, this kid has a lot of enthusiasm. This kid's going to be good. You know, I mean, this kid's out there playing when it's freezing cold. He's got enthusiasm.
The Olympics are postponed. Stop backstroking.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, your listeners, golfschools@hankhaney.com, send me a video. I'd love to analyze it. I'd love to help you out, give you something to work on. So when we do get back out there to hit some balls, you got something to do. And you can see some benefit to it. We fix the big miss. It's not about starting with the grip and the stance and the posture and all that. It's about you already hit a shot. You already hit shots. You hit some good ones. But what we do is we help you fix your bad ones.
Yeah,
that's how you get better.
Those will add to the score. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like you said, the big slice, the big hook, the whatever you can do that causes it'll add up to 5, 6, 8 shots a round for a lot of people. If you can fix that, cut out those 8 shots, everybody be thrilled.
Well, kill the penalty.
Whatever your score
the penalty strokes.
8 shots less.
Hank's always said that. Stop the penalty strokes. You're gonna have a much better round. So play within yourself. Hank does something also, always talks about something you guys do on the show, about how many swings you should take if you're just like, if you're housebound or homebound. 100
well,
swings,
I mean,
right?
That's, yeah, exactly. 100 swings a day, and it really, it builds some golfing muscles. It will help you, it helps every part of your game because you get a better awareness of where the club is. And then if you just send in a little video, we can tell you how to adjust that swing shape to make it even better.
Is there a, we talk about the orange whip and this and that and all these different devices. Anything that Hank Haney Golf would suggest would be a good device, a training device to use if you're not out playing golf?
It really depends on what your mistake is. Now, some guys that hook it too much, I mean, you believe it or not, hooking is not really a prevalent mistake, bad miss for most people slice. So the slicers, what they could, feeling this a proper swing shape would really help the slicers. One thing, turning the grip a little bit stronger, that means turning your left hand more on top, your right hand a little bit more underneath. Just realizing what causes that slice. The slice is caused by the club face being open to the path that you're swinging on. So if you can take some practice swings up off the ground, about waist high, kind of like baseball swings, Frank, and you're going to hear a swoosh. That's the club face squaring up. That swoosh needs to happen before you get to that imaginary ball that's up off the ground. And if you do that, turn that grip a little bit more on top, you're going to hit better shots. Tee them up, tee the balls up when you go to hit, because when you see the ball sitting on the ground, you're going to tend to go back to that old, very steep type swing that tends to make the face open to the path, and you're going to slice it again. So strengthen the grip, practice swings up off the ground, early swoosh. There's a practice device I'm going to send to really, I think this guy should be in the Hall of Fame for hockey. His name's Bernie Nichols. He hooks it too much.
That's me.
I'm sending him today, and I'm going to send you one, Frank. All you got to do is send me your address, and I'm going to send you one. I'm going to send you the impact snap. The impact snap is by far the best training tool for your hands, how your hands and arms work together. And a lot of people have bought that training device, but they are not using it correctly. So when you get it, I'm going to show you how to use it.
Cool.
And it helps stabilize.
So it's a sound thing?
Face.
It's you hear something and that triggers what you're supposed to be doing, right? Is that what it is, Steve?
Well,
it's a sound?
It looks like a grip. And it when your wrists hinge correctly, there's a little cylinder inside the shaft that goes up and down, and you can hear it.
Hear the pop.
And and when you square the club face, when you release your hands correctly, there's a couple things that happen in the device. It's hard to explain it, but it gives you the 100% great practice is the key to great results. And if you have accurate, immediate feedback on what you're doing, then you've got a chance to improve. And that's what the Impact Snap does. It gives you accurate, immediate feedback on how your hands and arms are moving. And Frank, don't give your address out over the the airwaves.
No.
But you make sure I get it, and I'm going to send you one today.
Yeah, okay. That's great. Hey, let me
be really good. It's very helpful.
Yeah, you guys do a lot of, you know, take the video, send it in. You talked about that earlier. What is one more thing that people can do? You're bound in the house, okay? You're stuck in the house. You can't really get out. Let's say you're over 60, over 65. You don't want to get out. Mm-hmm. What would be the single greatest improvement practice that they could do in the house?
Oh, man, in the house?
Yeah.
You know what? There are a lot of great mobility and balance and flexibility apps and YouTubes that are awesome. I mean, it's one of the things. I mean, especially the older golfers, when you say you can't get out of the house, I'm thinking you're talking older golfers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Older golfers, the range of motion for older golfers is absolutely off in general. So if you can work on range of motion a little, that'll help give you some stamina. Making some practice swings with even just gripping your hands together and making some practice swings, both left-handed and right-handed, because we're so one-direction oriented in our golf swings, whether you're left-handed or right-handed. Just think of how many swings you've made on the same side. The side-on sports that use rackets or sticks, those players now
ways.
Are practicing both different ways. Yeah, the baseball players, hockey players,
to balance the muscle development.
Players.
Is that
exactly?
Okay.
And so you can maintain some type of equal range of motion on both sides.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what else you can do, Frank? Too get some weights, not heavy ones, but even a 5 or 10 pounder. And you can use that almost like a dumbbell, but use it as a golf club, if you will. Not very heavy, but put both hands on it. And you can raise it like you're swinging a golf club, and it strengthens, and you can do it both sides like Steve's saying. I do this in the gym an awful lot because somebody else showed me to do this. And a lot of pros do this with those pull-down, you know, like pull-down lat machines, if you see it in the gym. Do the same thing if you're on your own somewhere, and you can do that, and it strengthens your lats, your shoulders, your back. And that's kind of what Steve's saying. Before you can get out on a golf course, if you can't get out on the golf course, you can work on your range of motion and certain muscles that you'll need. You'd be surprised if you do it enough. Yeah. Suddenly, you know, you'll be getting 5 more yards out of some of your shots, 8 more yards, just by strengthening the muscles you need to strengthen.
Well, there was a period of time when I was more in the office in the old days, and I had the grips, you know, the squeeze grips for your hands, you know, the spring-loaded things that you would just squeeze. I would be on a conference call for an hour. I would be sitting there doing that, just trying to strengthen my hands.
Just squeeze and get your hands stronger.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, Steve, you talked about the grip earlier. You know what I said when you're talking about turning your left hand over a little bit more so you don't slice quite as much?
Yeah, clockwise.
You know what
clockwise.
I've done? Yeah, right. You know what I've done recently? And I just noticed, and maybe it's me, but maybe it's not. While I thought I was gripping the club firmly, I often found myself at contact, or when you made contact with the ground and the ball and whatever, that it would just slightly twist, slightly, right? But slightly is enough with a golf club. If you're just a few degrees off, it's the difference between maybe in the lake and on the green and whatever. I've found that if I actually grip the club and consciously grip it stronger than I have in the past and don't let that happen, I'm hitting the ball so much more solid. Same
you mean,
swing.
You mean
I'm not
more
changing
firmly,
really
not,
anything else.
You mean more firmly, not
stronger. Yeah, firmly,
right?
Firmly. Yeah. Sure, yeah. But not stronger as far as turning it, but
just
squeezing it. Because we're always told, you know, don't break an egg and don't. But I don't know that, in my opinion, that's not correct. I think people need to really firmly squeeze a golf club because, as I've said this to other people, they all go, yeah, I know, it turns my hand a lot. It turns. And I think a lot of us, as we're taking that big motion all the way back like this and back through, we kind of forget our hands out here still need to be squeezing the golf club, and it turns. That's just something that I've done, and it's made a huge difference for me that I just feel like I hit, whether it's a wedge or a driver of 3-wood, that I hit balls just more solidly because that club is firmly in my hands. It's not twisting. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, Tim, off-center hits – The ones that feel the best are the ones that hit right in the sweet spot. You don't even feel the ball on the club face. The ones that do tend to twist the hands, and you can grip as tight as you want. And on high-speed video, if you hit the ball off the toe of the club, the very end of the club, you could grip it with a vise, and you're still going to see that club face. Frank, are you jacking around with your computer?
I'm playing Slingo, but no.
I'm playing a video golf game, but other than that, no, go ahead, Steve.
That was Tim going in and out. His substandard internet at his home in Dallas, that's what it is.
Oh, the point is that when you hit it off center, you're going to get that twisting. So you can grip it as hard as you want. It may feel better. It may produce better shots. But what we really want to do is we want to. Man, we've got a lot of issues going on here today.
I know. Here's something interesting when you talk about that, Steve. When you watch, and of course you were beside Tiger Woods for years during the heyday, when you watch the slow motion impact of, say, 5-iron, 6-iron, 7-iron, irons that you're, well, whatever, with Tiger, he's digging in the dirt. But you still see, from the best player in the world, you still see the movement of that club head just a little bit at impact or after impact into the ball.
Yeah, some of that is a shaft. Some of that is a shaft flexing from the resistance of the ball and the resistance of the ground.
Yeah.
But you know, as you know, we contact the ball first and then the ground. So that little wavering of the face, what you see, I mean, it's awesome how we can get that high-speed video and we can see exactly what happens.
Yeah.
But that's not really going to affect the ball flight too much.
Yeah, because it's usually after impact or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah.
Hey, Steve, I want to ask you this. Again, we're Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. Let's talk the tour. As we know, Frank was there actually when it all shut down, if you will, at the Players' Championship after that first round when they were first going to just eliminate the fans, and then it suddenly just became, okay, let's just not play any more golf.
They closed craft services. I knew it was over when they shut down media
that
dining.
That was your first sign.
That was your first. No Budweiser in the cooler. I'm out of here. Okay.
So golf is down, as we know, right now, and you can't watch, although Golf Channel has old tournaments. It's still fun to watch, and I miss seeing the tournaments that we keep. Valspar and everything else. I would have been in Austin today because of the match play down in Austin for the Dell match play. We're not having any golf. So if the tour, or when the tour rather, recalculates their season and says, okay, we got to get back to business and here's where we're going to start. Are there some changes that you think should happen on the PGA Tour that while this time is being shut down, that they could look at the game and figure out some corrections, if you will, to be made?
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, when we got time to take a little time out, everyone does do a little bit of reflection. The biggest thing that I had been made aware of not too long ago, a little Golf Digest survey of all the PGA Tour players, and it was an anonymous survey, and the question was, Frank, if you could, this is to a PGA Tour pro, if you could win a major, one major, which one would you like to win? So you've got four of them, obviously.
And the ultimate.
So 77% of the guys said
Masters.
Hey, you know what? The Masters. Absolutely.
Yeah.
17% of them said what, Frank?
The Open Championship.
This is a guess.
The Open Championship.
Correct. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. That's correct. 7% said
the U.S. Open.
There you go. The Mike Davis Invitational.
Also known as
that leaves
AKA
that leaves, if you add those up quickly, and I know Tim does, he's got a mind like a steel trap.
Yeah, his internet's going
that
in
leaves 0% zero guys
picked the PGA
pick the PGA championship.
Yeah,
that is an embarrassment to the PGA of America that no pro, I mean Justin Thomas, you would think, gosh, he would pick, that's his major, he won that major.
He won it. Yeah.
And his dad's a PGA pro, but no, zero pros picked.
And why do you think that, Steve?
Well, I mean, you know why, Tim. You know why. Because there's a number of reasons. It used to be
it's a pro-am.
The last major. It used to be the last major of the year. I mean, what do they call it? Glory's Last
Chance.
Glory's
Last
Chance. Something like that. Yeah.
Well,
that was weak.
Wahoo.
That's weak. Well, you know what it should have been called? Sweat through five shirts during a round, because it usually was in the I mean,
St. Louis.
It was in a bad
St. Louis,
time,
yeah. Belle Reve, oh, boys. I was there. It was brutal. Yeah. It was brutal.
Man. Yeah. The secondary name could be get your mosquito spray out because all these mosquitoes are going to be on us and the no-see-ums and all that. So.
Oh, God, I hate those things.
It's the DEET Invitational.
The DEET Invitational.
There's some things that they could. I think the PGA can do. I mean, first of all, I mean, I've been a vocal. I'm a member of the PGA of America. I'm a life member, been a member for many, many years. I love the PGA of America does great things. They used to say the PGA pros wore seven hats, and I can't name all of them offhand, but some of them are administering the game at the club, organizing tournaments, teaching the game, playing the game, you name it.
Merchandising.
I mean,
logistics.
It is a very difficult job.
Yeah.
How in the world can you do seven things well, first of all?
You can't.
But how can you compete against the best players in the world, guys that have dedicated their lives to playing golf? And that's one of the things that I think that's low-hanging fruit for the PGA of America. Get rid of the club pro in the tournament.
I agree.
I think that they need to make it different. It used to be different, Frank. You know that.
Yep.
The PGA championship used to be match play.
Yes, it was.
But match play is terrible for television. It's absolutely awful for television. It's just like the USGA events, the US amateur, the US women's amateur, the US junior amateur. At the start of the week, you've got hundreds and thousands of people there, a lot of excitement. You have a cut, then you start whittling down the brackets. At the very end, you've got two guys left, and their families watching them. That is not exciting.
If there's not something more fun to do for the family.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's pitiful.
It's not a great spectacle. So, yeah. I mean, I've got some ideas, but I mean, I think the PGA of America deserves to have a major that's not so far separated from the other three majors. I mean, zero guys voted that they would that's what they want their major to be.
That's embarrassing.
I think that's pitiful.
It is. What about the Premier Golf League? What a great time to figure out a way to start, huh?
Yeah.
Goodbye. Wow.
Well, I mean, they do have a lot of money behind them. They have not gotten acceptance from the top players. Rory McIlroy, as you know, came out and said, you know, and it's just not for me. Brooks Koepka came out. I don't even know he could speak. I don't even know he read. But he said he's not going. He says, you know, he made a good point in golfdigest.com this morning. He said, you know, I was one of those guys that needed a job. I'm not into, eliminating jobs from my colleagues, which is, I mean, that's pretty forward thinking, you know. I mean, it's just the whole idea about the PGA Tour is creating more jobs, and this Premier Golf League, maybe that the players will be able to, maybe they'll be able to negotiate, have some negotiating points based on this competition. But I can't. Can you guys, Tim? Can you see the Premier Golf League happening?
No, I don't think so. I think that the point a lot of people have made, which is it's just going to be a group of top golfers, which is what the money people thought. Okay, that's all anybody wants to see. They want to see the top 50, right, or whoever. Mm-hmm. I do think that eliminates a lot of different things. One, it's even those guys don't always have their A games. But also I think this country, this world, is built on underdogs in a lot of ways. And so when we see a guy win for the first time on the tour, we don't know if he's going to be the next Jordan Spieth or Tiger Woods or if he's going to only win that one tournament and never do anything again. But it's exciting to see the guys break through against good fields. And where did he come from? And you got to Google him and find out what's going on. People like that. So if it's just the top 50 guys, I think it would be very, very tough. And again, if you don't get the top, they had to get the top 5 or 10 to get on board. If you did that, maybe other guys would fall in line. But since they haven't, I think no matter what the money is, how much money do you need, right? You're going to tell Rory McIlroy. But the money will be crazy. He's going, I already fly private. I'm barely 30 years old, and I've got more money in the bank. Everything's going fine for me. I don't need to take a chance on getting richer, if that's the whole point of this. And I want to play in the majors and do the things I'm doing. So I think golf is very slow in changing anyway in almost every category. I think it would have been a long shot anyway to think that this was going to somehow catch on. I get the PGA Tour needs to make some changes and needs to have more excitement, different things that need to, rules-wise, need to be installed quicker than they have in the past changes. But I think that was just a bit too drastic and too narrow a focus. It did cut out a lot of people that we still want to watch and see. Okay.
One of the things that may come out of this, though, guys, is that, you know, we saw Tiger Woods play 12 events last year. 12 events is the minimum plus the majors. I mean, you get in 16 events for the top players. This may be a way for those, like Tiger Woods doesn't want to play 12 events. I mean, he won't play 12 events. I mean, this year, it's easy to see this year because the schedule has been suspended. But even before it was suspended, he was in no condition to play in the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
No.
Excuse me. Or the
Players.
The Players Championship. Yeah, yeah, he wasn't going to play in those anyway. Mm-mm. So maybe it's an opportunity to negotiate a better deal for these guys that are supposed to be independent contractors. I don't see how they qualify as independent contractors when the PGA Tour has to give them permission to play in different events. They have requirements that they have to play every 5 years. They have to play a series of different events just to spread out the star factor.
I think it probably falls under the 501.
Well, how in the world can they be a nonprofit?
Well, I don't. How's the NCAA a nonprofit? How is the NFL a nonprofit?
Well, there are ways around all that. I mean, there really are, guys. And
yeah,
and because, you know, a 1099 person, I can't tell if I have an employee or an intern here, I can't tell them their schedule, when they have to be here, when they have to leave, what they have to do. I can't do that. But under a charitable organization, I believe those rules are different. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's a guess. But I would assume that that probably is the case. But here's something we haven't discussed yet and I want to go to. The sponsorships. Valspar, AT&T, on and on and on down the road. Liberty Mutual, whomever's sponsoring a tournament. The LPGA got hammered because of their worldwide mixture of it's a truly
membership.
global membership. The PGA Tour, not quite as much. But do you put together, when we come back to golf, tournament golf, championship golf, do you put together a couple of sponsors and have dual sponsorships, maybe boost or maybe not boost, depending on the economic impact of this thing, but you put together multiple major sponsors, pull them back in. They got hurt, like Valspar and whomever the first tournament may be.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, what benefit to the PGA Tour would it be to hook up with the LPGA?
Oh, I'm not saying to hook up with the LPGA. I threw that in. What I'm saying is the PGA Tour. Let's just look at the tour down the line. Valspar
lost. I'm sure there's going to be some type of, benefit. And these people are companies are long-term, you know, long-time sponsors
Honda,
of the PGA
yeah,
Tour.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, when they do spend money on advertising, and heck, you could make an argument if they play it right that it could be even better for them. You know, hey, we're going to donate the money anyway, and I know like. The Salesmanship Club here in Dallas. I mean, they are the sole benefactor to this. What is the charity called?
Momentous.
Yeah. That's it.
Institute. Yeah, Momentous Institute.
You know, and that's one of the reasons they were going to move it from Trinity Forest is because Momentous took a hit of. They had only got 50% of the sponsorship dollars when they moved the tournament to Trinity Forest,
yeah.
Because the fans did not go down there and they didn't support it.
No, it was it was a party when it was at the other
yes,
venue,
and it'll be back there here
yeah.
pretty soon. But you know, I mean, the Salesmanship Club now is looking at ways. I'm part of the Tom Landry Fellowship of Christian Athletes tournament. And you know, it just goes to show you when people want to support a cause. They don't have to play in a tournament. They don't have to go watch a tournament. They don't have to play in a pro-am. If they're going to support a charity and they believe in the charity, that money's going there anyway. You wouldn't believe all of the guys in this Tom Landry tournament, none of them wanted their money back. They said, hey, you know what? We know you guys need the money, and we'll just play golf some other time.
How good is that? How good is that?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been great. It's been a heck of an adjustment for a lot of people. Not we talk about golf, but obviously everybody's world has been turned upside down about how to navigate through the coronavirus and when the Masters will be played and if the PGA Championship and on, they just announced today that the Olympics are going to be postponed probably for a year, be the summer of 2021 that they're saying the Olympics will be played. Well, there's billions of dollars in that world of getting the facilities and everything else for the Olympics, the sponsorships for the Olympics. I don't know how all that shakes out. Back to the point we were talking about earlier in the show, the combination of trying to keep everybody healthy at the same time, try not to let the world economy totally collapse because so many things are being canceled, and where is all that money going to go? And if that happens, people are going to be out of jobs, out of health care benefits. There's a trickle effect to all this economic part of it, too, that kind of can be scary. At the same time, I hope, we haven't seen it yet from our government, but I hope that smart people make the right decisions and we get through this. Obviously, at some point, we will get through it. We just don't know when. And that's, I think, the scary part about this, no matter what golf or anything else we're talking about, is it 2 weeks? Is it 2 months? Is it 7 months? I mean, how long before we can be kind of normal again and getting out and about? That's the part that nobody seems to have an answer for.
Can we,
and
we make
if
this,
you guess and you're wrong, you hurt some people.
Tim, you know, can we make this more personal too? I mean, Frank has said that, hey, you know, he's staying inside. He's his age, you know, he's one of the guys that, I mean, he needs to watch where he goes.
Yeah.
Just like all of us do. But Frank's been staying inside. My business has closed down. But we haven't heard how this has affected you, Tim. How has this coronavirus, COVID-19, affected you personally?
Well, the lack of toilet paper is certainly critical at this point. No, I would say here's how it really has affected me is I have this show. I have another radio show that I do here in Dallas.
I really have a place to go with that, and I don't want to do that. Because.
And there are sponsors that don't want to keep being sponsors of a radio show. Because
well, that's happened to
their
us.
Their businesses
yeah.
aren't doing what they wanted to do, so that definitely affects things. My wife is in education, and her school is, as all schools, shut down. And they've got to try to navigate how they're going to do that online, what's going on. And her school is an independent private school, so there's tuition. Will some of those people want a refund? They've talked about that because they're not doing the same things they would be doing in the classroom. So, and on top of all that, I've got a side business that I'm doing.
But you know what, Tim? I mean, let me interject here. a parent that has a kid that goes to private school, they want a refund? Come on, be realistic.
What did I say?
How can you get a refund?
What did I say, Tim, the other day when we had an offline conversation about that? If those parents, here it is, Steve, I'll tell you. What I told Tim, if those parents want a refund on their tuition and they're sending their child to, and I know the school that your wife is at, and it's very privileged school, so you've got to have a lot of cash to be able to go there, okay? If they want a refund, that's fine. Here's a prorated refund for you.
You can't even
enjoy,
do that, though, Frank.
No. Listen, let me finish. Enjoy sending your child now to public school because you're not going to get back in this door. You're out. You're gone. You're banished.
Yeah.
Go away. Just go away. Take your money and run.
Yeah.
Choke
well,
on
so
it.
Far, so far, it's been mentioned, but it's not. Yeah. I mean, and not to get
but
off onto that, but
there's a trickle.
It's just
there's
people
a trickle
get selfish,
down,
Steve.
There's a trickle down effect on all of that stuff. You know, I mean, you know, the administrators and the teachers and everyone, they had
cafeteria
a budget
workers.
At the beginning of the year. That budget, a lot of it is fixed.
There goes
a lot
Tim
of that
again.
Budget is done. You know,
it
a
is.
Lot of that budget that you can't adjust it. So when someone asks for a refund. See, are you kidding?
The money's spent.
You have a refund?
The money's gone. Yeah, the cafeteria workers, the custodial workers, the groundskeepers, all those poor
but
people.
But it shows you. Unfortunately, what it shows you is people just get self-centered, right? That's why they hoard things that they're hoarding. That's why they think they've got to get two big jugs of hand sanitizer so nobody else can have any. That they've got all they need. That's why some people buy it all and then try to sell it online for five times.
17,000 bottles, the two thugs from Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, I guess, now's not the best time to ask Frank for an advance on our pay then.
Oh, sure, guys. I'll send you a check. Hope it clears.
I'll send you double what I'm paying you.
I'll double it
right now.
Triple
matter of fact, did you guys see that they were talking about the Governor Cuomo in New York? That what they have to pay for those surgical masks now, just those masks that everybody wants to have and
they're
needs to have, and
the
real people that need them, not just everybody, used to be 85 cents. Now they say they're paying $7 a piece for them.
Yeah.
So those kind of things
the states
should be
are
illegal.
Bidding against each other. They're bidding against
those
each
companies.
Other.
But it's
crazy.
Something's not right there. It's just there's so illegal. Right? It sounds like somebody should be fined. Something should be happening. But something that's 85 cents, and then suddenly, oh, there's a crisis. People are dying. Let me jack up the price. I don't care. Somehow you get to the bottom of it and say, yeah, put those people out of business.
Well, there's a penalty for that.
They're lining their pockets.
There's a penalty for that kind of stuff, and the big guy upstairs is keeping tabs on it.
Yeah, yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, I guess so. All right, Steve, I think we're about exhausted everything that we could do. Until we talk to you again.
Have we covered everything, boys? Have we covered it?
I think we went to the Olympics. We went all over the globe.
We haven't done a movie review
with this whole thing.
What's the latest? What's the last movie you watched, Tim? Come on, last movie.
The last movie I watched, hang on a second. I watched a, good Lord, what did I can't remember.
Steve?
I did see one, not out of
You know what? It was
my
a
helmet.
Movie
I did
that
see
has
one
been
with,
out for a while, Frank.
Helen Mirren.
I hadn't watched it. My wife and I watched it, Valkyrie.
Oh, what a great flick.
We watched that movie, yeah.
What a great, okay, so I watched the other night, I watched a movie that came out in 1984. I believe, 84, 85, Against All Odds, with Jeff Bridges and Richard Widmark and...
Rachel Ward.
I was going to save the best for last. Rachel Ward.
Alex Karras.
Richard
really
Widmark.
Yeah.
Somebody else. James Woods. Against All Odds.
Yeah, yeah.
And the theme of the mute, of course, is the song by Phil Collins. What a great old flick it was. It was an old...
He was an NFL player. Jeff Bridges, right? He was an NFL player. It was about like an L.A. team.
He played for the L.A. Outlaws, yeah. And he got cut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't give it all away, but great movie. So now's the time to go back and look at some old movies, folks, and just have some fun with it, you know? Have just make the best out of what we've been dealt, which is not a...
Yep.
Others have been dealt worse, so we'll get through this. We will.
Yeah. Somehow, some way. Steve, if people want to again send a video to you to have you take a look at and help them out a little bit, what is the site to go to?
You know what? While we've been speaking here, I mean, I've had a bunch of them send in. Guy said that he was a 19 handicap. Now he's an 11 handicap. He's sending in another video.
Really?
Send it to Golf Schools. Take your mobile device. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It does not have to be slow motion. Please do not send slow motion videos in. A down-the-line video.
People are editing
that's one
their
where
videos.
We can see the target. We can see where you're aiming. Make one swing. It doesn't have to be a practice swing and then a swing. Just make one swing. Tell us where your big miss is. Within 24 hours, we're going to get you a start of a great game plan. We're going to give you some things to work on. And we're looking forward for you to coming to the promised land to get a Hank Haney 101 golf lesson.
There you go.
That's it.
Which I need do when
that's
I come to
it.
Dallas. So I need to get out there with you, Steve, when I come to Dallas and spend a little bit of time.
I mean, the flights are really cheap now.
$39 on Southwest right now, boys. I was looking before the show this morning, and I'm going to buy some tickets today.
Go anywhere. Yeah. Go anywhere.
Buy some tickets.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Stay healthy.
Love your insight.
Stay healthy.
You too. Our best to you and your family and Hank and everybody. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, it's a new world, Frank. Every day we kind of wake up into it. But, you know, I'm not a doom and gloom. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So I look at it like, okay, it is what it is, obviously. We can't, as in most humans, most average citizens, can't do an awful lot about changing it. Right? The government's doing what they're doing and saying you can do this or you can't do that. But what we can do is just be nicer to each other. So I think just do that and think, you know what, I don't need this. I don't have to have that. Somebody else needs it more than I do. Then just think of those things and just be nice. The spacing is very – people don't have to high-five and shake hands. You can fist bump. I was talking to a policeman the other day, and I just gave him an elbow bump because he put his hand out to shake my hand, and I felt bad, right? You feel like you're rejecting someone, but he kind of laughed, and so we just bumped elbows.
Yeah.
That's the new world that we're in. Now, at some point, we'll get back to shaking hands, but you just
grabbed
have to
his
be
Glock,
smart about
you?
That stuff. While he was arresting me, he
don't reach for the
hit me elbow to elbow. Yeah, it was very nice guy. So, but that's all. Just be good to each other and think of other people. You know, just like your parents taught you, just like you learned in Sunday school.
Just
always think of someone else, and I think we'll get through it.
Wash your hands and say your prayers. You know.
All right. We have any music? I'm not hearing music.
No.
I'm saying goodbye.
Are we done? Are we finishing?
No? Yeah, we're.
Is this it? I mean. So Tim Matthews is out, but he'll be back in just a second. I'm sure there. Tim's back now. No, he's gone again. We're having a lot of internet trouble here, folks, only because everybody's working from home. And there's Tim. So, Tim, I was signing off, but I'll let you finish.
I got to get out of here before our internet totally shuts down on us. Thanks, Frank Bassett. Thanks, Steve Johnson. I'm Tim Matthews. Everybody, be good to each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on Golf Talk America.